Ready? Hey, here we are at Spartan Up Podcast. This is one of my favorite episodes. I've got Sephra, Colonel Nye, Joe DeSena. Stay on Joe for a minute, because if you've ever wanted to stab Joe, like some people have, you're going to want to watch this, because Dr. Erica actually does that. Truly a great, great podcast. But I also want to mention our charity partner. Joe, can you tell us a bit about Challenge Athletes Foundation?
Yeah. Challenge Athletes Foundation, a gentleman named Bob Babbitt, I've gotten to know. Awesome guy. They do incredible things with adaptive athletes. We'll get into it after the podcast, and just want to thank them. We are here for Spartan Up Podcast. I forgot your name again.
Erica.
Erica Schwartz.
Schwartz. See, you remember.
And the name of the
Evolved Science.
Evolved Science is the name of this place. And they're going to draw my blood and do all kinds of things to me. They're checking to see if I'm a vampire.
We're just going to figure out how to make you go on forever healthy and prevent disease and make sure that your lifestyle doesn't interfere with your health.
Love it. And so you guarantee with this program I could live to 120?
I don't know that guarantee would be it, but probably yes, because you know what? When somebody dies, it doesn't matter if you're guaranteed or not, does it?
That's right. So the point of the podcast is we want to get to the core, the root as to how people become successful in life. Not necessarily economically, but a successful mom, a successful monk, a business person at their job. And we've talked to people about health. We've talked to people about committing, all kinds of things. So let's dive in, if we could, a little bit to your background and to what you think could help make somebody successful.
Well, I think that background, I was born in Romania.
Which already you have a leg up on everybody.
That's right, because it couldn't be any worse.
Americans will say, oh, I'm lucky. Like Warren Buffett will say, I'm lucky because I was born in America.
But you don't know what it's like when you don't have it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I come from Romania. I come from a really nice family. My parents were really decent, very smart people, very caring. And I always wanted to be a healer. And so I went to high school in Romania, and then I finished high school in Rome, Italy. And I came to New York when I was 16. And I've been in New York ever since.
And you became a doctor in...
I was 16, so I went to college and medical school here in New York and trained in one of the biggest trauma centers in the country, Kings County Hospital. So I trained in trauma, critical care, and internal medicine. And then I went into private... my first job at 28 was to run a trauma center.
Wow.
So I ran a trauma center here in New York, upstate New York. And after 5 years of doing that and setting up a really nice program like 911, and, you know, this was like in the late 70s, early 80s. Wow. And we set up the ambulance, helicopter services. It was really a great thing. So after 5 years of doing that, there was nothing else for me to do, so I had to move on. So I went on to doing internal medicine practice. And at the time, there weren't too many women in internal medicine practice. So organically, the practice grew really fast because I never thought that there is a difference between the doctor and the patient from the standpoint of what I know versus what you know. Because I think that you live in your body. I have no idea what's going on there. I may be well-trained. I may have great experience before you, but I'm only as good as what I do for you that works for you. And that attitude didn't really work very well in internal medicine and conventional medical approach, because all they were looking for was for people to get sick. So you have a symptom, come back in 6 months, we'll do your bloods. If they're abnormal, maybe we'll figure out something else. But there was nothing about how to take care of you so you don't get sick, so you don't land in the hospital, so you can enjoy your life. So this was like now, maybe early 90s. Prevention didn't really exist. There was nowhere for me to learn anything about it. I went around and saw people who were doing similar things to what I was doing, but I kind of didn't feel like they were connecting with the patient. And to me, I thought the most important piece was connecting with the patient. Caring about the patient, doing something the doctors are not trained to do, which is actually care about the patient.
Because they're very black and white, the doctors, they don't make that connection?
Well, no, because the training is such that they really don't want you to make the connection, because if you're going to make the connection, they tell you you're not going to be objective, but the truth is you're going to be even better because you're going to care. Because if you care, you will be even more objective, because you're going to look around for more options, for many more ways of making it better. Right. And you're going to pay attention to the patient. Because if you're going to follow a stupid protocol or a statistical data, you know, it may work in mathematics. It may work in building a bridge. But it's not going to work when it comes to the human being, because there's a lot of stuff over there that has nothing to do with the statistics. So I realized that what we're trained in is public health, not individualized care. So I wanted to do individualized care. So I started taking care of people as individuals. So first I thought, oh, I'm going to be a patient advocate. Well, nobody even knew what that meant. I was like, what the hell is she talking about? Social workers in the hospitals are patient advocates. And I said, no, the doctor should be your advocate, because the doctor actually should connect with you and know you. So, of course, it was perfect timing, because, you know, insurance companies came and they started changing your primary care physician about 10 minutes. So then there was no more relationship between doctors and patients. So I basically thought, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with insurance companies. In the examining room, I'm not going to allow anything but one ego, the patient's ego. And nobody else, no third party is going to be involved here. It's going to be just between you and me. And my ego is on a shelf. I need it, because if I don't have one, we'll get into trouble. Sure. But it's not for me to use. So this is how I started. And everybody said to me...
What year was that when you started?
90s, mid-90s. And everybody said to me, oh, my God, you're crazy. Everybody's taking insurance. This is awful. What you're doing... I said, you know what? I'm going to prevent disease. They didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But, you know, it was the right thing. You know, I wrote books. I went out there and started teaching more than one-on-one, but I always come back to one-on-one. And what happened was that I was right. It's about the patient. I mean, I always thought it was about the patient. It has to be about the patient. It can't be about anything else. Right. And healthcare has to change.
And are you starting to see that change?
And I'm still alive to see it, which is amazing.
Well, you look like you're about 30 years old. So
I love you. Oh, my God, I love you.
You're going to be alive for a long time.
I'm going to be... Listen, I have to keep you around for 120 years, so that means I have to be here for a lot more.
That's right.
You know what? To me, success is every patient that does well.
Right.
Also, success is when I write a book that people benefit from it, because... You know, there are just so many hours in the day, as you know, that in your day, there's a lot more hours than anybody else's day. Yeah. But in my day, I actually need 7-8 hours of sleep. So I kind of die at 7 hours. I'm high energy. I work out every day. I sleep well. I eat well. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I'm clean.
Yeah.
I do my IVs at least once a week or so. But I have to tell you, the thing is that I have to take care of myself. And by taking care of myself, I teach my patients. I learn nutrition. I learn more about exercise.
You have to know it yourself.
You have to experience it. You know what? You cannot be good at anything if you haven't experienced it, if you're not doing it.
I agree with that.
I think that when we tell people, oh, you know, do this, and I go, well, if you're not doing it yourself, you have zero credibility with me.
Right.
And so I think that that's the beauty of what I do, is because I do prevention, what I do is what I do in my life. So I tell my patients, you know, I tried this. It may apply, it may not apply. And I know conventional medicine.
Sure.
I lecture at medical conventions, and they look at me like I gave a talk about doctor-patient relationship, and they were like, what the hell is she talking about? This was before they knew that it should be patient-centric. Then I wrote a book called Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You. And it went well. It was last year. This year, I have this new book coming out, The New Hormone Solution, because I've been working with hormones for...
The name of the book is The New Hormone Solution?
The New Hormone Solution, because the old hormone solution came out in 2002. It came out 2 months before this huge study on hormones went bust, and it was a bad study. And I kind of predicted it without even knowing I was predicting it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the book became, you know,
a
big deal. And then, so I figured 15 years later I should talk about what I know. The new hormone source that's coming out in May. And so I think that the way to success is how I feel.
Right.
It has nothing to do with anything else. You know, I feel that if I can help, if I make a difference on a one-to-one basis, on a 1 to 100, 1,000, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm doing something. And that's what drives me. That's my why.
You found your why.
That's my why.
You found your purpose, so it doesn't feel like work.
It's never been work. And that's so funny you mentioned that, because it's not work. I love it. And it's not, you know, people say, oh, you're married to medicine. I'm not married to medicine. I'm married to, my passion is helping people, making their lives better, teaching them what I've learned from one another. It's kind of telling stories that will help you.
Sure.
So I think I'm pretty successful, and I'm
really
happy.
You're winning.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Next week, we have Dan Pena. This guy is so intense. He has not only become a multimillionaire himself, he's made many other people multimillionaires, and he swears that if you follow what he has to say, he can make you one too.
And so if you want to follow what he has to say, follow us on iTunes, YouTube, by subscribing or wherever you watch, and we'll see you next week.
And so what tips would you give people listening out there and watching out there to get motivated, get off the couch, and maybe follow some routines that will get them closer to their success, their purpose, their why?
I thought about it a lot, because I think it's so important, because each one of us is unique and we're all the same.
Right.
So you have to kind of find, how do you get to a why? Are you born with a why there? Are you doing it because you want to be better than someone else? Is the competition, the internal competition or the external competition, what motivates you? Different people have different answers. So what I do is, with the people that listen and are interested, first of all, it's a pre-selected group who's going to watch. The people who watch your podcasts already have found their whys.
Right.
They just want to make their whys better. They want to accomplish more. They want to feel more of a participant, a contributor. And you know what? You do is a team sport, because it's a team.
It's a
you want to bring people together.
Yeah.
And I think that bringing people together is crucial. I think that's the connection between people that makes the difference.
Yeah.
I think that we live in a very disconnected world. And I think that our phones, our social media, everything else is keeping us disconnected. And what we're craving is connection.
We were in the car earlier on the way here, and all five of us were looking at our phones. Nobody was talking.
Right.
So so Spartan does bring people together. And so you're recommending, again, for people to advance, find those human connections.
You know, it's hard. I think, yes, unequivocally, but it's hard because you want to find like-minded people. You want to find people who will give you positive reinforcement but not bullshit you.
Right.
You want people who are going to tell you the truth and will be there for you whether you're rising or falling.
Yeah.
And the same people on the way up as on the way down. And I think it's important. I think it's about being passionate. I think that passion makes the difference.
Most people can't find their passion. That's what I hear. I hear often. They can't
find
it.
Me too. Yeah, they can't find their passion because they're so busy trying to find it. I think if you just kind of get quiet, if it gets
quiet inside.
Quiet.
We've heard that twice this week.
Really?
That's a good one. Get quiet.
If you're quiet inside and you don't constantly look and run, you know, we're over busy.
Right.
All of us are over busy. We're running and running and running. And that's a way to really not connect. It's a way to not deal with our own vulnerabilities.
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Of course not.
But you know, I'm always quiet inside. I'm hardly ever busy.
Well, I bet inside you are pretty quiet. I think outside you're not. Creating a good fit between the outside and the inside is kind of a goal.
That's why I needed to live in Vermont on the farm, because I had to get the outside away from me.
Right.
Because I'm a magnet for craziness.
No, I think we're all magnets for drama because we live in such a dramatic society. But, you know, look where I am here.
Yeah, no, you're in the thick of it.
I'm in the thick of it, and yet that you come in here. How did you feel when you came here?
It's quiet.
Yeah.
A couple of plants, nice people.
Right, and everybody's nice.
Yeah.
You know what? The people, like-minded people, people we work with, everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
Everybody's nice.
So one, find your passion. Two, get quiet. You got a third one?
Yeah, I realize it's all about love. It's not about anything else. And as a doctor, I can tell you that it is about love. If you don't love your patients, you're not going to do well by them. If you don't love what you're doing, I don't care what the scientific data tells you. At the end of the day, it's about love. And those who can figure out what that means, not on a sexual level, not on a physical level, but as I said, as a philosophy of life, they're the ones who get it.
So you're talking about love. I get a little squeamish around that word. Just
I'll help you get unsqueamish. Okay. Let's talk about it.
Help me on that one. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think when we think of love in our culture, we condition to think of physical love, love between a man and a woman, or two women, or two men, but love that is sexual. Yeah. Well, I think self-love is not sexual. I guess it can be, but it doesn't have to be sexual. But love is where you start, and love is where you end. If you care enough, if you truly love, listen, you love your children, you love your dogs, you love your pets, you love your friends. We so casually throw the word of love around. Love you, and hang up, right? Love you, but we don't pay attention to what it really represents, because it is an emotion that heals. It's the most healing of emotions. And, you know, when you say about the Spartan way, and...
Well, they loved each other.
They loved each other.
They protected each other.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But that's the the connection. And love is the ultimate connection.
My wife is going to love you for this.
but you know what? But I don't want people to think that love in terms of just sexuality. Yeah. By all means, listen. Yeah. I mean, of course, it's one of the most important things in life. But I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to think of it like you said, you know, Spartans, like, they cared about each other. Their society was so, you know, secretive. It was all about the love for each other.
Yeah.
And all these secret societies that care flourish.
Yeah. Yeah. Love your food, right? Love taking care of people.
Yes.
Love yourself.
Well, love yourself is the most important.
Yeah.
If you're able to love yourself, love your own flaws, your own, accept yourself as you are, and then take care of yourself. And take care of others. Then you can take care of others.
All right, she broke me.
I did?
She broke me.
All right, I don't break you. I don't want to break you. I want you to feel great. My goal is to give you love.
I mean you broke me because I've been resistant to the softer terms in life. But
they're not soft. You know what? It's cultural. It's such a cultural thing, and it's so sad because it deprives us of what we crave the most, which is connection. So then if you say, okay, the ultimate connection is love, then, like, hey, we're all figuring it out.
Sure.
We want to connect.
I've met chefs who have talked about, like, putting love into the food.
I agree.
You could taste it.
Yes. There was a book. Did you read the book?
I didn't read the
book. There was a book about, oh, my God, I have to remember the name of the, oh, my God, what was her name? A book about, like, and it was a Spanish book, and the woman, like, cooked, and when she cooked meals that she was upset and cried, everybody got sick. And when she cooked with love and passion and happy, she did well.
And the food was amazing. And to the audience out there, it sounds hokey and crazy.
It's nothing
so. But I've heard it enough now that I believe it.
This is what I think about skepticism, because I come from a skeptical profession.
Yeah.
And the good news is that if you ask conventional doctors, they wouldn't tell you I'm a quack. They would not say that. They would say, oh, I know her.
Right.
That's what they would say. Or if they know me.
Sure.
But I tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, when skeptics are people who don't want to grow, skeptics are the ones who don't question the status quo. Right. And unless you question the status quo, you can't grow.
Right.
So
push limits.
You have to.
What do you do? That's what we do.
Exactly.
Get out of our comfort zone. Let's push.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
You're not gonna. You got to know what's on the other side. Let's push.
And you know what? The comfort zone in medicine is following protocols.
Yeah.
Not noticing the patient, not listening to the patient, just doing tests and surgeries and chemotherapy and everything just blindly.
My dad was in a hospital in Long Island. I'm not going to mention the name of the hospital. Multiple heart attacks, multiple surgeries. I couldn't believe the diet that they fed the patients coming out of these. I couldn't. We wouldn't eat that on a good day.
Right. But you know what? As a doctor working in hospitals, now I don't anymore, thank God, for the past 20 years. But you know what? If you say to half the medical profession, if not more, you ask a doctor, you know, how is diet going to, you know, affect me? They'll tell you there's no connection between your disease and diet. And you look at them and they're fat and they don't care about, you know, their physical plan.
That doesn't make sense. How do you get out of medical school and not know that?
Because they don't teach you anything in medical school. Because medical school is fully paid for by drug companies and the industry. It's not about the patient.
Wow.
So this is the thing. It's like, why do people take advice from people who look like that?
Right.
Who don't hear them, who don't notice them.
Right.
Who don't pay attention to them.
Yeah.
They don't take their nose out of the medical record to look at the patient.
Yeah.
They look at the numbers on the blood results. They don't spend the time with the patient. And the patient has to stop listening.
The old days, though, it wasn't like that, right?
No.
In the old days, you had a very holistic approach, right? A doctor was a generalist and understood everything and got to know the patient.
Well, they took responsibility.
Right.
I think that now, because it's so fragmented and because of what happened with the, you know, medical profession actually became all these subspecialists in the 70s, they brought in subspecialties. So nobody looked at the whole person anymore. So nobody's responsible for anything.
Right.
They're just responsible for their tiny little piece of
sure.
what. So how's that going to be a solution
work.
To
that
you?
That doesn't work.
It will never work. But the problem is the patients are afraid and people are afraid and they want to get better. And they also turn over their power to the medical profession because they think the medical profession, they think the medical profession is going to solve it. And this way they don't own their lives.
Right.
They're not responsible and accountable for the outcome.
Right.
And the truth
so
is
maybe
you
they
fully...
they slip on their diet, they slip on their everything else in their life because the doctor gave me some pills.
Right. But the truth is those pills are not going to help you.
Right.
You're the only one who can help you.
Yeah.
Listen, I ran a trauma center, so I could tell you when somebody needs help. And that's in a trauma center. When you get run over by a bus, trauma center is a good place to go.
Yeah.
You know, modern medicine is amazing at that. But then you have to think about between the moment when you actually need care and acute medical care and all that time in your life when you don't need medical care,
right.
what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing to take care of yourself?
Let food be your medicine?
Let food be your medicine. Let your lifestyle be your medicine.
Yeah.
Let your sleep be your medicine.
Yeah.
Let your kindness be your medicine. Everything you do, the air you breathe, can make you better.
I was thinking of moving to Shanghai before I talked to you, but that's out now.
Oh, okay, I think you're coming back to New York now. I think we're moving back to New York.
That was awesome.
This,
okay, got it?
Yeah.
All right.
I actually feel like that's the book for the interview.
Don't let your doctor kill you. This is the book she wrote.
And then the other.
But let me see the other book. What do we have?
She's bringing
it. How do people find out about you? Do they go to
your website? DrErica.com.
DrErica.com.
Google me.
All right. DrErica.com.
With a K.
With a K.
Yeah.
You guys got it?
Facebook.
Go to Facebook. Check her out.
Check her out.
Needles. They suck.
Well,
they never get better. I don't know. Did you, all the years in the military, did you ever get...
Leeches. They put leeches on you, Colonel Nye?
Not that old. Right? I mean, no, needles never bothered me. I mean, I think I got sick one time, but you see a lot of people
sick faint. One time.
What do you? People get sick. They look at it. They see the blood. They get, you know, it's nothing you can do about it. It's like getting seasick or something. It'll happen to you sooner or later, and you'll go down. You get enough.
I studied to be a first responder when we moved here to Pittsfield, and my first call was a guy had run his hand through the sawmill.
Holy!
And he had a glove on, and so everything was still attached and.
It was all still in the gloves.
It was a tough situation. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm not great
with blood.
That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of doing a podcast,
Murray's cut.
Oh, my gosh.
I love her really catchy title, Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You.
Yeah.
And interesting, you know, you get a lot of people who aren't trained in traditional medicine who will have their opinions about traditional medicine, try and pull you away from it. What's interesting about her is that she was trained in traditional medicine, but a lot of things she didn't like about it, and she decided to go more of that natural route.
Not a lot of doctors pivot.
Yeah, like that.
I remember my dad had a heart attack, his first heart attack. He was at a great hospital, one of the best heart hospitals, And they woke him up, and they gave him breakfast, and it was croissants and butter. And
idiots. Idiots.
Doing? You wouldn't eat there.
How long ago? 70s?
No, 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Still the same thing. I had a friend who like had stomach surgery.
That is sad, then.
And then afterwards they're like, here's some Jello and here's some other garbage. And I'm looking at them going like, are you guys absolutely kidding me?
I want to throw a caveat in and just say,
no.
You know, it's funny. We talk a lot about natural health and we talk a lot about moving away from some of the more traditional ways, which isn't a slam on traditional doctors and traditional medicine. There are a lot of phenomenal doctors out there and there's a lot of great things from both ends of the spectrum. But we do seem to find a lot of people who are moving away from that as the first and only line of attack.
Johnny, I love you, but I disagree.
Okay? No, Sever, I will agree with Johnny and say when you're in a jam, right, when you're in a real tough jam.
When you're in an ER,
yeah,
you want a doctor.
I'm not talking about that. No. I am so joyful and grateful for people that like know all the medical profession and the science. What I'm talking about is the nutrition that is offered at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's
that great. It is like corn syrup garbage. I have so much respect for people who know how to do surgery. I would never say anything in that regard. I'm just saying that
after the surgery, it might be good to put some good food into you instead of sugar.
Yeah, I mean that's just it. But all right, I digress. Anyways, the point is what I think that she says is really great is that doctors aren't taking responsibility anymore, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying everyone's so specialized and they're so, it's again, this like non-holism's perspective. It's like, oh, well, let's do like, you're a foot doctor and you're a heart doctor and you're a brain doctor. And there's hardly anyone who's like, let's look at the whole picture and do some more preventative.
Like the general doctor used to be. The
family
doctor.
They come to your house, they know, they have the history and they
I remember I had to go to Cornell Veterinarian College to bring. I had an animal that was sick, and brought it up there, and they couldn't figure it out because there's an ear specialist, and an eye specialist, and a skin specialist. And I said, "Nobody."
Well, what was this, one of your horses? Or what?
Not going to get into what.
Joe goes in there pulling his lip.
I don't want to get into it because of a cat. What the fuck am I doing with a cat? it's a long story.
But, you know, it's funny, though. We talk about the doctors don't take responsibility. I think a big part of her message is we need to take responsibility for ourselves. And, you know, we think somebody else is going to fix us, and we're waiting for somebody else to fix us. And at the end of the day, it's what we're going to put into ourselves. It's what we're going to do with that energy, what we're going to do with our lives. And if we look at what we eat and we look at what we do and we look at the environments we expose ourselves to, we're not going to need that traditional doctor nearly as soon if we're actually building our own health. And so her idea about don't wait for a doctor to fix you when a lot of times, you know, you've put yourself in that position in the first place, I think is really a great one too.
My twin brother, who's done a lot of medical stuff, he was doing a recert for his EMT, and I happened to be available, so I joined him for a 3-week course. Actually, it's quite a bit of time. But like, well, we had somewhere to live.
You're
one
of the few awesome people in the world who goes, I had nothing to do for 3 weeks. I love that.
Well, I think that there's always a lot to do, but I also like.
You made time.
I make time.
It was important to you.
I make time. And you know, the thing that I make time for is something that's like, hey, understanding the systems of your body, understanding how your body works, understanding how to save your body. And I think like as a baseline knowledge, I think like every kid in high school, we should all go through an EMT course.
Yeah, I would
so
agree
like
with that.
I think that you would be able to more, you know how to work in a triage situation. You know how to like actually release to chains of command. I don't know. I think like that type of knowledge would be very helpful in us being a more
well. One of the other podcasts we had, and again, I'm not sure what order that all come out in, was similar, right? Where you talked about that the gym is the hospital,
yeah, for
right?
sure,
and not just the gym, but working out, staying in shape.
Goes back to David Wolf.
Goes back to
David
the
Wolf.
preventative medicines, right? Yeah. You've got to take care of yourself and do all of those right things.
You know some of the best preventative medicine, right?
Watching the podcast.
David Wolf is actually a super famous superfood raw food. Ah, his name's David Avocado Wolf.
But I actually was talking about Rob Wolf, and I have to apologize for that. Yes.
But if you wanted to get unconfused, where would you go to do that?
Tell you what, if you want to sort out this last couple of minutes, make sure to go to Spartan.com/podcast. YouTube, iTunes, wherever you watch it.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
The charity that brought this to you was Challenge Athletes Foundation. Bob Babbitt, who started that, friend of ours, fantastic guy, basically finding and securing limbs and so forth for athletes that need these things for all over the world. So he providing tremendous help to those in need. So thanks, Bob.
Speaking of those in need, Marion is going to need to do a lot of editing on this one.
Thank you for watching another epic story of success. If you like our message, please share Spartan Up with your friends and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show, maybe in the woods. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.